I'm excited about this day. I'm excited about this year. And the gentlemen, if you would come and go ahead and take our morning offering, I would appreciate it. And like I mentioned, if, you know, there are a lot of people in need, and the way we do benevolence, we call it our agape fund here at the church. And we don't actually have that as a line item. We just pray that God will provide, and he does. And you know, we just trust him to meet those needs as they come. But praise the Lord. You know, it's kind of a weird time. I don't know if you guys sense this like I do, but it's kind of a weird time, isn't it, between Christmas and New Year's, especially when the Christmas and New Year's falls the way they did this year, with Christmas Day being New Year or Christmas Eve, and then today being New Year's Eve. It's like you have an entire week in the middle where it just seems strange. It's like, I know a lot of people have probably a little more free time than normal. Maybe they're off work and they're not normally, and maybe off school and it's not normal. You're just kind of off schedule. You're not sure what to do, and I saw on Facebook a lot of people taking down their Christmas decor. I know Nicole and the girls did that, you know, and we took it down, and most of it. I didn't take the lights down yet. I'll get out there eventually and do that. But and then it's too cold to do a lot of things you would normally do, so it's kind of a weird time. Is anybody else experiencing that? Just kind of like, well, I'm not sure to do. And it seems like, you know, you don't, I know, especially right after Christmas, I didn't necessarily want to go to stores in the mall just because, you know, it'd be super crowded, right, with returns. I heard on the news, it was cracking me up there, saying, a record $70 million in returns. Do you guys hear that? Those statistics always, they always make me chuckle a little bit, because I'm thinking like this. I'm thinking, okay, $70 million. First of all, how do they know? Because the returns haven't happened yet. I mean, it's all guesses. But then when they throw out a number like $70 million, obviously that's a huge number. I mean, it's way more than I spent on Christmas, right? You too, right? But I don't know what that represents. I don't know if that's, you know, 10% or 1%, or, I mean, that number doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, there's millions of people in the United States. I don't know if that's, I mean, that it's like they make it like it's a big news item, and I'm not sure if it is. I don't even know if that's all the states or if it's, you know, Puerto Rico too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, was it adjusted for inflation? And they never said, well, how much was it last year? I mean, it's just weird. Did you hear MasterCard said it's the biggest Christmas in history? Did you guys hear that? And I don't know if that's their way to say the economy's doing well, but for me, I hear that and I think, oh no, that means there's a lot of people in debt today that weren't, you know, before Christmas, I guess. So I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, you know, what they're trying to really tell us. I know for a lot of people, I don't know about you, but I've been thinking this. I wonder how many times I'm going to write 2017 in the next few weeks. You guys ever wonder that? I mean, 2018, does that shock any of you? Now, some of us who are older, do you remember when you were a kid and you thought toward the future, like what science fiction date would be? Like, you know what I mean? Remember? I mean, I used to think like 2000. I mean, that's a long time, right? And did anybody ever think 2020? You realize that's in 2 years? That's 2 years from now. Wow. It's hard to imagine. Well, when you get to this time of year, it's funny how you think about things, and I think it's just natural because of, I mean, even though the date is just a date in our lives, a lot of things revolve around this date. I mean, it's December 31st. And so because of that, we naturally kind of look back a little bit. And maybe it's because we have that time off, but we kind of pause and we start thinking back a little bit about things that have been, and you start thinking about what will be. Now, in reality, it's just a day. It's just another week. It's kind of like when you have a birthday and somebody says, like 20 times, you feel older today? Like, no, I don't. I was just yesterday. Yeah, but, you know, but sometimes the date does sink in. Now, 2018 doesn't have that kind of ring to it like I think 2020 will. And it, think about this. We'll just get this out of the way now. But think about how many churches are going to be like 2020 vision for the year. I mean, I'm getting out of the way now because you know that's going to happen. But as you do that, and maybe it's because, you know, you're taking the decorations down and new things are going up. I mean, this is a natural time where you look back and look forward all at the same time in this day and this week, and we do that. And maybe it's because of this, but, you know, you start to think about things, those of you who are on Facebook, and I know a lot of people don't like it, but I love keeping track of family and friends and things like that, and I'm not one to, like, go through and stay on there forever. I mean, if something's up on my feed, I see it, and that's pretty much it for that moment or whatever. But in the last little while, have you noticed this? They keep popping up pictures from the past. Have you ever seen that? I mean, we all have seen that, right? Sometimes you post them, sometimes you don't. But You know, a lot of times I don't post them because, I mean, it's just a family thing. I might take a screenshot and send it to one of my kids. I said, remember when you looked like this 7 years ago? But this time of year, you kind of do that. And as a parent, I mean, there's things you do and you look kind of back. And you think about your kids and what God is going to do with them and where they're coming from. And so I hope I don't embarrass them too much. But these pictures right here, this is when we moved to Kansas City almost 13 years ago. It'll be 13 years ago in the beginning of the year. And that was a picture at Sheffield. They used to put all the, when I was a pastor there, they would put all the pictures up. And then this is when we moved here to Crown Point. And that'll be 7 years ago coming up in February. And isn't it wild just to see the change? I mean, I think Nicole and I look the same, but, you know, the kids. And then that's last Christmas we did. And then, did someone say how cute? And then this was just this Christmas. And you start to think about that and you see that transition of time. I mean, it's one thing if you look at your own life and look back. You know, a lot of times we don't see the change in us. It's when you get those pictures and they're like, oh my goodness. I mean, they're taller and everything's different. And everything changes and you start to evaluate, well, man, what is this year going to hold? And you walk through what the different years have held and what things have happened. And maybe you're in school right now and maybe you're thinking a little bit about your grades and maybe last semester was tough and you've made some decisions about how it's going to be different this semester. Maybe you're going to study more. Or maybe you're going to focus more. Or maybe you had a parent or a teacher help you with that decision. I don't know. Maybe for some of you, you think about your job there this time of year and you think about where I've been and where I want to be. And maybe you think about salary and you maybe think about asking for maybe a promotion or maybe for a raise. And this time of year just lends itself to that, where we think about changes and what was and what can be and what should be and where I want the life to go. And maybe you think about your finances and maybe some of you are thinking about planning better for retirement or maybe the way you're going to give or maybe a major purchase that you're thinking about for this year. When it comes down to it, you know, a lot of times people think about, you know, we talk about resolutions for a new year. And this next year, or this next month in January, we're going to do a whole series on Back on Track. We're not going to talk about resolutions per se, but we're going to talk about some things that we as pastors want to encourage you. All of our pastors are going to speak, and we're going to encourage you on different elements of your spiritual walk getting back on track. Now, some of us, as we look back, some of you may look back and feel really good about this last year. 2017, I'm still kind of stuck on that. You think about, it's been a good year. Some of you may feel really good about it. Some of you, on the other hand, may feel like you're a little bit behind or maybe not where you should be. Some of you, when you look back, you feel like, man, I should be totally different. And maybe when you look at other people, you start to compare yourself and you think, well, they're my age or they've done some of the same things I've done or why are they there and I'm here? And you start to jump into that maybe midlife crisis, or maybe for you it's not even midlife, it's just flat out crisis, I don't know. Sometimes I think of it like this, I think of it sometimes like you've been dropped into somebody's story and you're trying to figure out where it fits and what page you're on and where am I going with this? And maybe you've done this too, but you know, as you watch a movie or a TV show or something and you kind of evaluate, okay, they're doing character development here, and I can see where this plot's going. And then maybe something happens, and you're thinking, well, wait, what did I miss there? And sometimes we start to feel like our lives are like that. And I don't know if you've done this, but has anybody ever done this where you decide maybe last minute or something comes up and you're going to go to a movie and you think, well, I've got time to get there because they always play like 45 minutes of previews, right? And then you get there that one time a little bit late and that's the one time they didn't do it. So you walk in and you're like, oh my goodness, it already started. I don't even know what's going on. Then you got to evaluate, am I going to be able to catch up with what's going on? Because it's not like, a theater, you can't say, hey, what happened to just some stranger, right? Or maybe you do this at home, and I've got to stop doing this. I know my kids get annoyed with this. Well, I walk in, and they're watching some intense drama, you know, and I can tell it's super intense. The music's all intense. You know, it's really serious. I'm like, why are they so, who is that? And why is this like this? And they're just looking at me like, can you be quiet? It's right. It's like, and I'm trying to catch up to what's going on. I want to see what's happening. But sometimes our lives feel like that, that we've just been dropped in and we don't know what's going on. And our lives, kind of like a movie or a TV show or whatever, they kind of develop scene by scene and piece by piece. And sometimes it can feel so confusing. Have you ever done this where you've been reading a book and a page is missing? I know. Worse, though, this happens, I don't know, it's frustrating. It happens during some sports seasons. I don't know if you guys have this issue, and this is such a first world issue, but, you know, does anybody else DVR everything? I don't even know when the last time I watched a commercial. In fact, we were watching something yesterday, and I think it was Nicole said, can't you skip this? Like, no, we're actually watching live TV. We don't ever do that. But how many times has this happened where maybe a sports finale or something has preempted a show, so you're watching a recorded show, and then it clicks off, like 10 minutes to go. You're like, what? What just happened? We don't even know what happened. And it's so frustrating because you want to know. You just want to know what's going on. I mean, the bottom line is nothing makes sense without the story. You got to see the whole story. And there's so many times where we look at maybe other people's lives, and maybe it is Facebook thing, and it's a problem with social media where you're not really seeing their whole story. You're seeing the highlight reel, but you're not seeing the story. And then you look at your own life and you're frustrated and you're like, I don't have those highlights. Or at least mine aren't in that order. And the truth is probably theirs isn't either. But it looks a little bit better the way it's been presented. And it can be frustrating. You wonder, God, what are you doing? As I look back, I'm not real happy with what's going on or what happened. And I'm not sure about where I am. And I don't know how to get to the next step either. It can be so frustrating sometimes. I think that's why movies are so popular. And especially sitcoms where they develop a problem and a solution in 30 minutes. And if you think about it, you take out the commercials, it's really 20 minutes. Wouldn't life be nice if it worked that way? Well, you run into an issue and you're like, hold on, we got 15 more minutes and it'll be fixed. It's not like that. Or you can fast forward and it'll be done. It's not like that. There's a screenwriter named Robert McKee. He says, we go to the movies because we hope to find in someone else's story something that will help us understand our own. There's so many times when you do go to a movie, you start to relate to one character or another. Or I don't know if you've had this experience. There's times where I've been to a movie and thought, I didn't really like anybody in there. I didn't relate to anybody. I didn't really care what happened to them. You didn't relate enough, so you didn't care. It's funny though. There's another author who talks about the fact that there's a reason we like sequels, because we kind of have this sense that we know what's going to happen, and there's a certain comfort in knowing the way it's going to play out. You guys ever notice that? And you have a familiarity with the characters already, so you don't have a lot to learn. You can just follow along with this new little chapter in their lives. So, for instance, does anybody know how many Toy Stories there were? There's actually 5. Yeah, I know. I had to look it up twice. I'm like, no way. There's not 5. There are. But they're not always the big screen ones. But do you know how many Home Alones there were? There were 5. I would not recommend watching 3, 4, or 5, but that's just me. How about Die Hards? You know how many there were? 6. I didn't hear 6, but there were 6. How about Rockies? No way. You guys really don't know? 7. There's actually 7. If you count the last one, yeah, the new one. How about Harry Potter? I have to admit, I never saw any of them. There were 8. Do you know how many books there were? 7, because one they turned into 2 movies, I guess. So, okay, but here's, this one's good. How about Star Wars? You guys know how many Star Wars there were? Okay, somebody said 9, and that would be probably the purest. And I'm not trying to start any fights here with the Star Wars junkies or anything, but Star Wars actually came out, what year? Does anybody know? Whoa, very good. 77. And it was later subtitled Episode 4, A New Hope, in 81. And then that first trilogy that we all saw was episodes 4, 5, and 6. So it ended up being the middle trilogy. So if you count Rogue One, which some people don't want to count, whatever. And then there's animated ones. And did you know that there were TV specials with some of the original cast? I never knew this. And you can actually go see them. I didn't want to, but one of them's called Star Wars Holiday Special, came out in 78. One of them's called Caravan of Courage in 84. One of them's called The Battle for Endor in 85. I never even heard of those, but they were made for TV movies. So really, if you count, you know, they're going to release Episode 9 and then the Han Solo movie. If you count all those, then until they make another one. But the granddaddy probably of them all is the James Bond series. 12 actors, and I know some of you are saying, there's not 12. There actually are, but I'll explain that in a minute. 12 actors, 26 movies over 55 years. The reason that you probably haven't heard of all of them is there were some stage and TV adaptations that were later presented on the big screen. One of them, probably the funniest one of all, was done by an American actor. He'd never heard of James Bond before because it was before the books were famous. But he played James Bond. He didn't know how to play it. And then that ends up, you can actually search and find that one. So it's just comical. The bottom line is this. Nothing makes sense without the story. And when you see somebody, you don't really know their whole story. And really, as we are living our lives in the middle of our story, there's times where you encounter people, and maybe as you're looking back, you're not really happy with where you are in your story, and then you're looking at them, and you're seeing it looks like they're in a great place in their story, and you're not even sure you want to share the whole thing, because it won't make sense unless you hear the whole thing. And there's times where you're talking to somebody, I'll just give you a great opening. If somebody wants to share and tell you, that, you just ask them, hey, what's your story? How'd you end up doing this? Why are you doing this job? You know, what's going on? And, talk about being chilly in here earlier and turning the heaters on. Our heat went out in the office area this week. So I went to my office on Thursday, and it was 49 in there, which was a little cold. I mean, it was just a little chilly. Then when the repair guy came, he sat down in my office to make some phone calls, which is fine. So we just ended up talking, you know, and I did that. I said, so what's your story? You know, where are you from? How'd you get into this? You know, how long have you been working with this company? And people will tell you their story if you're willing to listen and care a little bit. It's interesting, though, because, you know, maybe there's things that happen and you need to know what's going on. And probably in your family, you've had this happen where maybe one or the other, you get married and then you join the family and you feel like you need to catch everybody up on the stories, right? You got to tell them, why does grandpa act like that? You know, why does uncle so-and-so limp? You know, what is this all about? You know, and when you see something, I mean, I get this all the time with the amputated leg and all that, the prosthetic, you know, where people like, you can tell they want to ask you, but they don't know if it's too awkward or uncomfortable. And so I know I'm not a good person, but if they seem a little awkward, I try to make it more awkward, you know, and so they'll, it's just because it's fun watching people squirm, you know, and they'll say, can I ask you about your leg? And I'm like, my leg? And then it's really funny because then they're like, oh, is it okay? Nah, it's fine. Yeah, I don't care. But let me just tell you though, it's funny when you see somebody that you can tell already has a similar story to you, how you automatically have a bond, don't you? Because I'll just tell you, honestly, if I see another amputee, we can talk. I can ask him anything. I can walk up, but you almost got to preface it first. You know, I just got to walk up and say, hey, I'm an amputee too. And then they're like, oh, then we're friends. Isn't that weird? Then we can share, you know, everything. Here's the problem, though. Wherever you're at in your story, you desperately need those answers about your own story. Because as much as you want to know what's going on in everybody else, the thing that haunts us is when we don't really know what's going on with us. And as we look back and we look forward, we can't get it all to fit because we don't really always know what's next or where we're going or what God is doing or why it looks the way it does at this moment. There's some questions that we desperately want answers to. We want to know who I am. You know, why am I here? Do I matter? Now, we addressed some of these questions last week and the fact that with Jesus coming to this planet, God said, you are my chosen people and I love you. And he said, you're here because I love you. And he said, yes, you matter. But the fact is, wherever you're at in your life, you want to know those things. You want to know. We're in this story. We want to know how it's going to end. And we see plot twists and we see characters drop in and out and we see that there's good and evil and we want to see meaning. But there's times when you're in the middle of that it seems so random and frustrating. You wonder what's going on. We live in a world where really the world has totally lost its story. It's really as if the world, you know, they try to find answers, but they try to find them so desperately outside of God. And when they do that, it's going to always lead to despair because if you just look to science for the answers and you say, why are we here? Sadly, the answer comes back so hollow and disconcerting. Their answer is, well, probably by accident. Like, oh, well, where are we going? Or how will it all end? Well, probably by accident too. So if your answer to that is that everything came from nothing and that there is no purpose and ultimate design in life, then That can be a very unsettling thing. Most people aren't comfortable with that answer. So they find different ways to develop meaning in their life, and they want something else that's going to desperately make sense. There is a larger story, though. There is. And we need to find out where we fit. It's almost like that sign at the mall. Has anybody ever been to a mall, like a strange mall? You know how it is when you know your mall. I'm not saying that, like Independence Mall, but maybe you're in a different town and you stop into the mall. And how many of you are the ones that just barge on ahead? You never look at the sign. You can be honest. I'm just curious. Okay. For me, I just want to see the sign. And even though I still don't know the mall, at least I have some sense of comfort. Okay, at least I'm here where that says you are here. And I know that, at least. Right? And I feel like that's a lot of times what we're asking for. You may not like where you are, but at least there's a sense of comfort that you know that you're where you are. You can see it. You may not have perfect clarity, but at least you know. Have you ever noticed that every story borrows from the greater story? Every story there is. I don't want to ruin every plot of every movie or book, but seriously, think about this for a minute. Things were good, right? Follow me on this. Things were good. A bad thing happens, a tragedy of some kind, that requires a hero come in, and whatever cost, they bring it back to good, right? Isn't that every story? I don't care if it's a Western or a drama and one of those 30-minute sitcoms. I mean, that's how it works. Because that's the story of our life. That's the story of the world. That's the story that God has placed deep in each one of our hearts. And I think every time we tell that story, whether it's a book again or a movie or whatever, we feel reassured that there's an answer at the end. Now, I know some people like those movies that end without an answer. I do not, okay? I know some people like those that there's no heroes, you know. I do not. I want to know that there's something different. And I believe it's because God has planted eternity in our heart. And he's continually calling to us through all those things. And we can't help but tell those stories. And we can't help but be drawn to those because we want right to triumph. We want the good guys to finish first. We want evil to be vanquished. We want the world to be set right. We have universal longings. We need those answers to our life to make sense of what's going on. We need that. And Christianity does that. Christianity answers that. I'm not talking about the Christianity of just going to church and going through the motions. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about just following rules for rules' sake. What I'm talking about is the truth of the gospel story that the world was good and he created it perfect and that there's a God who is good and he wrote this story. But there's also in this story a villain, and this villain hates your heart and he wants to destroy you. That's why we go through things in life and it's so unsettling and it haunts us to some degree because we know that there's a bad side to this world. And sometimes it bursts into our consciousness with something that's horrible. I know there was a high school senior who died this last 2 weeks ago and her funeral was this last week. And when something like that happens, it bursts in and you say from the depth of your being, this is not right. It shouldn't happen. This kind of thing isn't the way the story's supposed to go. And someone gets cancer or you run into a huge financial predicament and you're thinking, God, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. That's because there's a villain who's trying to destroy everything good that God put into place. And the Bible puts it like this. In John 10:10, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. There's no middle ground there. It's very clear what his purpose is. And he's very creative and very persistent. And he will do whatever it takes to kill and destroy that, whatever it takes. But God's purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Because real Christianity reassures us that there will be meaning in our life. With all the confusion and randomness and frustration and wildness, that ultimately there's going to be something that's going to be good. But in the middle of this, the enemy who tries to destroy you, the way he starts is he tries to destroy that whole idea that God is good. He wants you to start to doubt that. In the middle of your problems, in the middle of the heartache, he wants you to start to question God's goodness and the idea that God cares about you. But what I want to reassure you about is this, that God is good and he's good all the time. That never changes. That's who he is. It's his character. The fact is that when he gives us free will, there's consequences to that. And people make choices. You make choices. And when we make those choices, not all the time, it doesn't always work out perfectly. Love is risky. And in giving us that free will, he also gave us the opportunity to turn our backs on him and say no. And when you do that, there's repercussions and consequences. And they aren't always limited to just the person who made that decision. There's a lot of us who walk through life and we pay the price and have the grief of other people's decisions. And that is the risk of giving us free will. But it was worth that risk. Here's what I want to reassure you of is you can trust him. His character is good and he loves you all the time. No matter what, you can trust him. Even when you weren't aware of him, he was still looking out for your good. In Romans 5:8, where it says, "But God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us, even while we were still sinners." In the middle of your sin, even when you didn't know who he was, he loved you. His character is good. He wants the best for you. "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future." Isn't that what we desperately want? We want hope and a future. We want hope. We want to be able to hold on to the idea that it will turn out good. Yes, this is what was happening last year, but 2018 can be different. These things weren't working out, but now this can happen. That hope is such a powerful thing. I don't know if you've heard about this before, but one of the things that people do when the evil that is there with, you know, dictators and people who are just psychos, one of the things they try to do is crush hope. Because hope is a powerful, powerful thing in the human heart. If you have hope at all, you can withstand the most incredible, incredible things. I know I had a survival class in college. I know that sounds silly because even now looking back, I thought it was silly. When I first signed up for it, I thought, this can't be real. It was a PE elective. Survival, really? Yeah, it was awesome. We got to, and for the final, this is no lie, it was in California. For the final, they took us above the tree line, and we had to spend 2 days and survive, you know. And we got points based on what we found, you know, what we ate and made. And, you know, it was pretty cool. Termites are good, by the way, I'm just saying. They are good. And up there, you can find, they're really big ones, really big, juicy ones. And ants, if you crush up ants and if you put water through them, strain them through your sock, the top part of your sock, I'm just saying. The top part, you know, by your ankle, that part. It tastes just like lemonade, and it's very high in vitamin C. You know what they taught us, though? Here's what they taught us. The differentiating factor in those who survive and those who do not is a positive mental attitude. Now, this is a secular class. They said positive mental attitude. You know what that is? It's hope. Hope, hope, hope. And we watch story after story. I mean, people caught in avalanches, you know, and this guy's underground for a week and he lives because he said, "I knew at any moment someone was going to come for me." And they're like, "Do you know how long you've been in here?" He goes, "It's been probably, I don't know, 12 hours, maybe a day, been a week." And then other people who die in 30 minutes. How does that happen? Because they had no hope, no hope. But God comes to give us hope and a future. He cares about us. And maybe as you're looking back, you know, you're frustrated because some of the things that have gone wrong are your fault. And maybe you've made some mistakes. And as you're looking back, you feel like a failure. And you think, I can't go any further. I'll never get it right. Let me say this about looking back. Looking back is actually, it's a good thing if it motivates you to better things in the future, right? It's a good thing if you learn from mistakes and then work toward the future, right? Those are good things. But if in your looking back, it holds you back, that's not a healthy thing. If all you do is look back, then you can't go forward. I mean, you can't drive looking backward. The fact is that if looking back, you're stuck there and overly focused on what you didn't do, and then that keeps you from what you could do, then the looking back part is actually a negative thing. If you fixate on the failure, I mean, disappointments and loss and failure, if those seem way bigger than the future ahead, then you need God to relieve you of that. I found this C.S. Lewis quote this last week, and I thought it was awesome. says you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Now, you can go back and fix some things. You can go back and you can apologize. You can make retribution. You can pay people. There's things you can do to repair, but you can't change what has been happened. You just can't. I mean, the past is the past. And things are fixed and they happened. You can't change those things. But you can make changes now that change what happens in the future. You can do that. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Here's what I love about that. He fell, but he's still considered righteous. How many have fallen? Really? Seriously? Seriously, how many have fallen? I think it's important you admit that. We have all fallen. The key is not to stay fallen. The key is to get back up and try again, because there's a hope and a future, and there's a God who loves you and has a plan for you that is better than 2017. I believe that. I believe that, and I believe that he can do things in the future that you can't even imagine right now. But the key is you don't stay fallen. You actually get up again, and he still considers you righteous. And the reason he does that is because he is a God of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, as a human being, that's hard to conceptualize, because if we're honest, we don't forget, do we? And we don't forgive. Not really. We try. We say we do. But we still hold something in reserve. Some of us more than others. I mean, I love how Pastor Newby used to always talk about grievance collectors, where there's some people that walk around with grievance against whoever and whatever for whatever. And if you talk to them a little bit, that's all you hear about. But that's not what I'm talking about, because I don't think that's you. The fact is this, though, that when God forgives you, he forgives completely. And I know that's hard to understand. I know it is. Because it's difficult, because it's not who we are as human beings. But the fact is, he is God and he makes all things new. All things new. Maybe for some of you, as you look back, there's actually people back there that are holding you back. Maybe people who are holding you down. Maybe people who've disappointed you, and that memory or that event weighs so heavily you can't look forward at all. And because of that, you're tied to looking back instead of looking forward. If that's you, I saw this quote this week, and it made me laugh, and it also said ouch at the same time. It says, some people come into your life as blessings, some as lessons. And I laughed first because I thought, oh, that's funny. Unless it's me they're talking about. I don't want to be a lesson for somebody. I want to be a blessing for people. But here's the thing. There are people, and you need to make a decision about this. There's some people that you need to let that relationship go to move forward. Or you need to let the tie of it or the pain of it or whatever it is that's holding you down, you need to walk away from that so you can go forward. This one too made me laugh. If I could just turn them slower. If you spend all your time judging people, you don't have time to love them. When I first read that, I said, yeah, that's true for a lot of people. Then I felt the voice of the Lord say, a lot of people? Yeah. And I thought, God, do I do that? Do I do that? I'm going to warn you about something. That's a dangerous question to ask God, if you mean it. I mean, if you say, God, is that me? Is that me? And then you wait and listen, he will speak to you. You know, I'm not talking about a burning bush or anything like that. I'm talking about he will give you an impression, or maybe he will. Maybe a voice will come in your ear. I don't know. But I do know this, that as I contemplated that and think, God, I do not want to be doing that. I want to love them. I don't want to keep people in their past either. I mean, I want to be free from mistakes and failures in my past and be able to move on with hope. But do I allow others to do that too? I want to. I learned this a long time ago. I don't think I've learned it. I know this. You can change yourself. Then you have to trust God with the rest. How many wish you could change people? We all do. We all do. We all wish this would change or that would change or this could do this or that could do this. But the bottom line is God is the one who has to do that work in us. He's the one who makes the change, not only in us, but in them. And you want to manipulate and change and fix this and fix that. But the bottom line is he has to do that. And they have to be yielded and want him to do that. Just like I said about the asking that question, God, is that me? You've got to actually be honest enough with him to say, I really want an answer and I want to change. And they do too. If I could have the worship team make their way this way. There's this passage of scripture in Titus, and I don't know how many of you guys think about Titus. That it's a very small book in the New Testament, but you know, Paul wrote it to this individual. But these verses right here, there's four of these verses that go together that it's interesting to me how they talk about this. They talk about how we've got issues, but then God is the one that fixes these things. And as we read this, I don't want you to read it just for someone else. Read it for you and someone else. Both. Let's do this for a second. Once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. That's brutal, isn't it? I can't imagine any of you like that. Oh, geez. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Are you glad for that? Are you glad for that for others too? You know what that means? That means a 2017 can be redeemed in 2018. It means that whatever was then can be different now and going forward. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Folks, that's hope. That's hope. You can trust him. God is good, and he wants a better 2018 than 2017. Whatever it was, I mean, you can trust him with the next page, whatever that is in your story. You can trust him with whatever pain, whatever dreams, whatever questions, whatever frustrations, whatever people are in your life, your future life, your love life. Maybe some of you are here today and you've kind of pushed him away a little bit because you've been a little frustrated. Maybe there have been things that have been going on and you're just thinking, God, I've been asking and you have not come through and changed this. You get tired of asking and you get frustrated. And maybe it's not even a conscious thing, but you realize as I'm saying this that you haven't been asking lately and that maybe you've kind of given up on hope a little bit. Maybe you're frustrated because you don't see how your life fits now into the next chapter. And maybe as I talked about earlier, you've kind of read some other people's stories and it looks like for them it's perfect and it's almost frustrating. You don't want to begrudge them, but at the same time you're like, why them and not me? And why is it working out for them and not me? And maybe you want to give God a chance to fix those things and to give you hope. Maybe you've been around church a long time. Maybe you're totally new to church. And for you, you realize that you needed God to come into those relationships a little bit. I'm going to ask you to shut your eyes for a second and appreciate the worship team being here to lead us for a moment. I want to let these questions sink into your heart and mind for just a second. Could you lead us, whatever you're prepared to talk about, for just a minute?
Your heart, it moves with compassion. There is love.